And it says, for those who live in the land of deep darkness, the light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of the Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms, bloodstained by war, will be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. And here's where it really gets. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. Whose shoulders is that? Yeah, boy, spoiler alert, right? And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. And then we got to see that 150 years later, Jesus showed up. So I wanted to welcome you. Hey, we got the words. All right, thank you for your patience with us. Merry Christmas, all. Okay, hang on. You gotta switch back seats, bud. Sound guy? Thanks, dude. Takes a bit. Give me a thumbs up, buddy.
It was lucky for me that
they
didn't have the words. I kind of messed up.
We make a good team.
See, there's a reason for everything.
And I pray that there be no technical difficulties, which means God's in it. He's God.
Let's go. Search for the boy who will bring us all home.
Still good, Ottawa.
Oh.
I think that's next grade. I believe so.
I'm right, right?
Loving hearts enthroned him.
quite see everybody, but we're going to have a little story time here this morning, this evening. Well, I'm used to saying this morning from the stage, eh? Merry Christmas, all. I can't quite see over there. Sorry, everybody. That's better. Isn't that better? That's better. We're going to go with that. Once upon a time, long ago and far away in a strange land, there lived a man by the name of Jones Beresford Tiffin, a man of incredible wealth beyond your wildest dreams, who had the strange habit of giving $1 million to individuals whom he carefully chose. His associate, Michael Anthony, who carried a briefcase, umbrella, and hat, made his way to the objects of this generosity and bestowed upon them the gift from their great benefactor. Of course, their lives were transformed. At first, there were just a few, but soon there were dozens, hundreds, and finally thousands of people in his land and in lands around the world. At his death, Mr. Tiffin left explicit instructions in his will that from the countless holdings of his vast estate, this practice was to be continued down through the years. So it came to be that all over this earth there were those who had their circumstances unbelievably transformed as they were suddenly catapulted into the rarefied atmosphere of the millionaires who received the gift. Now, it came to pass as centuries went by that these people, who had also received Tifton's name because he had adopted them into his family and had granted them other privileges as well, decided that it would be well if they would get together occasionally. Because they did have so much in common now. It would be especially good if they had a celebration of the birth of their great benefactor, Mr. Tiffin. So they celebrated. And of course, it's obvious that the only people who really had the slightest interest in celebrating the birth of Mr. Tiffin were those who had received his gift. They were virtually a club for millionaires. As the years went by and the celebrations continued, there were essays written about Mr. Tipton's great character and benevolence. There were hymns written and sung to his praise. There were pictures drawn and many other ways devised to celebrate the memory of this man who had altered the lives of so many with his generous gifts. In the process of time, at one of these celebrations of Tipton's birth in America, a couple of people who not only had not received the gift, but didn't have the foggiest idea that such a gift even existed, well, they somehow wandered into a Tiffin birthday celebration. This couple didn't quite grasp what was going on, but they did pick up the idea that somebody had given some wonderful gifts to these people who were celebrating. Although the couple didn't understand it all, they did think it sounded kind of like a good idea. So they told their friends, and they told their friends, and they told their friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. And believe it or not, the idea spread like wildfire. Before long, almost everybody in America was celebrating Tiffin Day. Well, the department stores soon picked up on the idea. They had a keen eye for that kind of thing. Before you know it, there were Tiffin specials all over the place. And other things arose. There was the Tiffin card, of course. And then came the Tiffin tree. Strange to say, though, the tree didn't even grow in the land where Mr. Tiffin was born. You may not believe this, but it's actually true that the time came when the Tiffin Day became a national holiday. Everybody was celebrating it. Well, one day, years later, on Tiffin Eve, two gentlemen who had been recipients of the Tiffin gift happened to land in New York Harbor. As they walked down the gangplank, one of them said to the other, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could find someone in America who is a Tiffin recipient, and we could celebrate tomorrow with them on the birthday of our benefactor?" The other said, "Ah, yes, but in such a large land as this, it's highly unlikely that in so short a time you would be so fortunate." To their utter amazement, as they walked down the street and looked in the window of the first department store that caught their eye, there was a sign shouting, "Only one more day until Tiffin." And in the next window, "Tiffin specials, half off." The two men said to each other, "At last, we're in luck. We have found a Tiffin." But isn't it strange that he calls himself Walmart? Well, these Americans are a lot. They started into the store to find the owner. When across the street, they heard someone cry, "Mary Tipton!" Startled, they turned. Then from their own side of the street, they heard a chorus of voices all around them saying, "Mary Tipton and a Happy New Year." With that, they were absolutely dumbfounded. "Certainly," they said, "Mr. Tipton has been extremely generous with his gifts in America, unlike anything we've ever seen in his own land." It came to pass that in the evening, they found themselves invited to a large home where there was in progress another American innovation, a Tiptonese Eve cocktail party, in full swing. They noticed as they were standing in the corner that some of the people were absolutely falling down drunk, which they thought was very strange because they were quite confident that Mr. Tipton would not have approved of that sort of conduct, and they couldn't see how this would be honoring to his memory. One of them said to the other, "My dear brother, this afternoon on the street, when all those people were shouting, 'Mary Tipton,' did you notice the way some of them were dressed?" "Why, yes, I did. I didn't want to say anything, but surely they did not look like millionaires to me." "That's just what I thought, and I can't understand it. Have you noticed here on the mantel place all of these Tipton cards? I've just been looking at them, and the thing that absolutely astounds me, and I find it completely baffling, is the fact that most of them don't even say anything about Mr. Tipton at all. In fact, they have this picture of a fat man in a red suit and a chariot being drawn by 8 reindeer, one of which has a very shiny nose." The other man said, "Oh yes, I noticed that, and I inquired about it. It seems that this is some character they've invented. His name, I believe, is Serper. Yeah, that's it, Saint Serper. I think his first name is Uriah. I believe they call him simply by his initial, though. It's you, yeah, you, Serper, Saint Usurper. It seems that many of their Tipton songs are actually not about Tipton, but about Mr. Usurper. I find it very difficult to understand. Perhaps one of these people here at the party could enlighten us." So they turned to the man who was closest to them and said, "Excuse me, sir, Mr. Tipton." The fellow looked at them and said, "You must be tipsier than I am. Mike's the name, Michael Mythology. What can I do for you?" They said, "Would you kindly explain something to us, sir? We're a little bit confused. I do suppose you've received the $1 million.
"The what? The $1 million?
"Yes, the gift from Mr. Tipton."
$1 million? "Man," he said, "I had to borrow $300 from the finance company to buy my Tipton gift this year. What are you talking about?"
They said, "Well, why are you celebrating Tipton Day? What's it all about?"
"Oh," he said, "well, that one's easy. You understand, there was this fellow, they say, named Tipton, who had a way of giving presents to people. I don't know what they were, you know, neckties, handkerchiefs, pajamas, that sort of thing. And, of course, some people think that he really lived, but we today in our sophisticated modern world know that it's all just a myth. Nevertheless, it is a nice idea, so we pick up the idea, and we give gifts, and sort of change it around a bit. But that's basically the idea.
You don't really think there's anything to that old idea that he really lived and actually gave some important gifts to people?
Of course, we don't, but it is nice."
"Yes," the visitors replied, "I can see from your purple necktie with orange stripes that you're wearing that this is a very significant day in your life." Mike staggered away, leaving them even more baffled than before. Then they said to another gentleman, "Sir, could you please help us? Could you tell us, have you received the gift of $1 million?
"Huh?" said the man. "Man, I don't know what you're talking about."
And they said, well, tell us, sir, why do you celebrate Tipton Day?" He said to them, "Well, that's an absurd question. Everybody celebrates Tipton Day. When I was just a child, I used to hang my Tipton stocking on the mantelpiece. My parents and my grandparents celebrated Tipton Day. Everybody celebrates Tipton Day. What's wrong with you foreigners coming over here questioning our customs?" And he sort of wandered away. The two still could not understand. They decided they should make one last effort, having just talked to the gentleman, Mr. Traditional, and getting nowhere. So they asked another man who introduced himself as Mr. Bootstraps, was it?
"Benny Bootstraps,"
he said his name was.
and he'd be glad to help them. Sure, he could explain the meaning of Tifton name. Well, you see, there was this fellow named Tifton. Started out very poor, I understand. His life was written up in a big black book. Most of us have them, but nobody really reads it much anymore. Anyway, it tells you the principles of his success. You know? It tells the principles he used to make a million. And so the idea is, we will read the book, follow these principles so that we can be rich too, you know? I think it's the kind of basic idea found in that book. You know, reach down and pull up on your bootstraps. They said, well, what about the gift? Mr. Bootstraps replied, what gift is that? About that time, there was a knock at the door. And when no one answered, the door opened, and there appeared the perennial descendant of Michael Anthony himself, umbrella, a hat on, and a briefcase in his hand. Our two faraway friends were delighted to see that here, at last, at this party, someone was going to receive the gift. But no one seemed to pay any mind to Mr. Anthony. And since no one paid him any mind, Mr. Anthony had said, excuse me. Still no one heard him over the laughter, the hubbub of the party, and the tinkling of the plastic. So he spoke up again. I beg your pardon, but I have with me here. His voice was drowned out. He made one more effort, and then disgusted, he turned and left, closing the door behind him. No one had seen him come. No one had listened to his voice. No one received the gift. This has been a story by Dr. James Kennedy. I think I should give that shout out. Anyway. Yeah. We have a reading from Luke.
Register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them.
Joy to the World has a little bit different rhythm, so yeah, hopefully we'll catch on eventually.
We're gonna have some fun this evening, guys.
Thank you. Pour unto us a child. Park like a kilometer away, along the main highway there, and you count 11 power poles, and then there's a tiny little picture of an airplane, and then you walk into the bush, right? And you just head kind of west, and if you go too far, you hit Japan. So we searched, and we were not disappointed. After like a 2 hour walk, it was like 5 kilometers altogether, but it was like half a kilometer up and half a kilometer down. And we were not disappointed. We found what we were looking for, and it was really an amazing thing. So if you're ever in Tofino and you want to go for a hike, it is through bog, and you know, it is a little bit challenging. But the Parks Canada have put ribbons and some walkways there, because it can be a challenge. But still, even though it's well marked now, what supposedly, still a couple of times a year they call Parks Canada to help find some lost people a couple of times a year. Well, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is, many people are very familiar with this part of the Christmas story. And Luke did some investigating. Now, Luke was a doctor, and he went to eyewitnesses, and he wrote down exactly what they told him as to what had happened. And so I love Luke's story. I love the way he writes. I love what he writes. I love how detailed he is. Chapter 2, verse 15, when the angels went away from them in heaven, we're talking about the shepherds. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, she treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Now, who were they meeting when they were going to search for this baby? You know the answer, of course. They were meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, the angels made it clear to them that the baby in the manger was a Savior. He was a Savior, and who is Christ the Lord. So that's three titles right there. Savior, Christ, and Lord. They made it very clear. Today, your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. That's the New English translation. Now, the announcement to the shepherds was very personal. Your Savior. We're all born sinners, aren't we? Desperate need of a Savior. And it's because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Now, all means all. That means everybody. Everybody on the planet. Even Jesus' mother was born a sinner. Even Jesus' mom. Everybody was born a sinner. It all means all. And so, do you know that there are people who don't believe they need saving? A friend of mine is praying for her caregiver. When she asked her if she was saved, her friend says, "I'm saving myself." Oh, that is so sad. Because the prices aren't even paid. Jesus paid the price. We don't have to save ourselves. Indeed, we can't. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders of that day, they were trying really, really hard to keep the law. Because if you could keep the law perfectly, you could save yourself. They couldn't do it. Nobody can do it. That's why we need a Savior. And in Hebrews chapter 7, 25, this is the truth. Everybody needs the truth. Everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs a Savior. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. That's speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's Savior. We need a Savior. And Christ, what does this title Christ mean? The religious leaders believed that Christ which means anointed one, and therefore Messiah, would come and save them from the Romans, save them from Roman occupation. They believed that Jesus would be some, that the Messiah would be a military leader, that he would save them from paying taxes. We need somebody to save us from paying taxes, don't we? Have you looked at your power bills lately? My goodness, we need some help. But they didn't realize that the Old Testament was given to condemn us, to point out that we needed a Savior, that we were condemned without help. They didn't realize that. And so they were still trying to keep the law as best they could. The Old Testament was never meant to guide us into salvation. It never was. He is coming again to judge, and you want to receive Jesus as your Savior because you don't want to stand before him on judgment. You know, the first time Jesus came, he came for salvation. The second time, he's coming for judgment. And if you have salvation, the judgment doesn't apply to you. Yes! Woo! Love it. And then the third title was Lord. The name Lord has already been used by Luke 16 times in chapter 1 to refer to God or Yahweh, and here the angel gives the same title to this newborn baby, that his name would be Lord, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, given to the newborn baby, a helpless infant, not sitting on the throne, but lying in a trough. Now, the implication is clear. This is not just any baby, but it's God clothed in flesh and blood, the God-man, fully God and fully man. Again, Jesus came the first time for salvation, but he's coming again. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says that Jesus has the name above other names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Spurgeon said this. He said, I wish the saints would cling to Christ half as earnestly as sinners cling to the devil. Oh. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Well, what about the others? When we read Luke's account of the shepherds and involvement in this whole thing, it's pretty easy to miss that the fact that there are other people involved. I want to look at each group as it relates to meeting Jesus the Christ. And I don't want you to miss this, because there are a number of categories here. First of all, there's the crowd. There were a lot of people that had come to Bethlehem. Why? Because they were being registered by the government, and they needed to go to their hometowns. And so there were a lot of people coming to Bethlehem. This is David's town, right? Where David was born. And so there were a lot of people. There was a crowd, okay? And because of this government census, so many people. There were soldiers, there were merchants, there were children, there were zealots, and there were scribes. There were people from all walks of life. They're the crowd. The crowd has no interest in the birth of a Savior. They believe it has absolutely nothing to do with them. They have their own priorities, their families, their jobs, their to-do lists, their sports. We don't have time for the Savior. Gandhi said it's better to walk alone than with a crowd going in the wrong direction. The crowd was just outside the door, just down the street. If only they had somebody to tell them. And then there's the bystanders. Now, I don't believe that Mary and Joseph were alone. I know we see it in all the pictures and all the cards. Mary and Joseph are kind of alone. I don't know if they were alone very much. Not with that amount of people in town. They had family in Bethlehem. And there were other women who had experience with midwifery. When the shepherds came, they had no star to guide them. And so, in my imagination, they're asking around. They're knocking on doors. As a matter of fact, that song we started with, let's go, let's go, let's go, it's a pretty exciting, uplifting song. I can see this, the shepherds just running and through the fields and knocking on doors, and we saw angels. And people were going, what's going on? And pretty soon, it's like the shepherds have this big crowd of people following them, going from door to door looking for this newborn king. And so I don't believe that the shepherds were alone, and I don't think that Mary and Joseph were alone. So they were attracting a crowd. Now, they heard the shepherds' curious story, and they marveled, but it doesn't say anything else about them. And in today's world, there are people that are curious about Jesus. They're curious about who he is and what he did. They believe he lived. Many will support the church because they want to be part of something that is doing good. They believe that Jesus lived and died and even rose again, but it doesn't inform their lives. That's sad. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he kind of lays it out this way. He writes, "You say you have faith, for you believe that there's one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror." And so there's the bystanders. And then the third group, there's the transformed. The transformed. And I'm going to say this is the shepherds. You know, they heard the good news. And what they heard was that their Messiah was born in Bethlehem. Shepherds were not upper class people. They didn't have the best jobs. They weren't even the middle class. They were like the bottom. They were at the bottom. Shepherds were a lower class people and were often seen in less than positive light. They might have even smelled bad. But God chose shepherds to be the first and to hear the good news, for their Messiah had come. Not the upper class, not the middle class, but this lower class, the shepherds. What a privilege for them. Why did God choose shepherds? Well, David was a shepherd before he was a king. And when Jesus began his ministry, he was rejected by most of the upper class, the educated and the religious. God always, always, always lifts the humble. And so the shepherds are so privileged. And then they responded to the good news. I have two words: haste and found. Because that means two things. There was an urgency to meet Jesus, and there was effort involved in meeting Jesus. In one word, finding Jesus had become their priority. You know what? They didn't leave anybody behind. I don't think they did. I think the shepherds, and just like the angels, when they announced the good news to the shepherds, and the one angel, there was one solitary angel that announced to them, because you can imagine if more than one angel had come and said, hey, they wouldn't have been listening. They would have been on the floor, on the ground. So after they heard the good news, and then I like to think that heaven emptied of angels, and they all came down to just praise God, because they were interested in what was going on, that men were going to be saved because the Savior was born. And so I don't think the shepherds left anybody behind. They were all excited to see this thing. The sheep are going to have to take care of themselves tonight. And so it was their priority. They believed the word given to them by the angels. Believing always demands action. Faith without works is dead. Again, from James, and he's absolutely right. And so the shepherds left their sheep, and they went to search for this newborn king. The wise men had time to pick out gifts. The shepherds didn't have any time to pick out gifts because they wanted to meet the king. All they could bring was their smelly selves and their warm hearts. That's all that they could offer the king. And then they shared the good news. And this is the real test of faith, isn't it? Are you willing to share his story that becomes your story? Are you willing to share that with others? Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." That's Romans 1:16. It's funny how we generally don't have a problem sharing our small victories. are small victories. You know, a goal achieved, an unexpected blessing, a surprise win. What about meeting Jesus? What about meeting Jesus? Isn't that a victory? Having your sins forgiven, having an eternal home prepared for you, isn't that the best news ever? Isn't that what we should be sharing? And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. And then they glorified God and rejoiced. Why? Why would they do that? Well, they just got to meet the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Lord of all. And of all the people God could have chosen, he chose these lower class shepherds, these sheep herders. And they were not the same shepherds who heard the good news. Not after they met Jesus. They were different and they rejoiced. From fear to anticipation, from anticipation to reward. They went back to their jobs, but things were now different. A whole new world had been opened up to them and they were transformed. So tomorrow morning we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't find your remote control, good. That'd be a good thing. You might want your phone. You might want your glasses. Because you might want to talk to somebody and tell them the good news. You might want to remind them that Christmas is about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Lord of all. You might want to remind them that he's coming again. So choose transformation. Hallelujah.
Amen. We have some actual firelight candles for those of you brave enough, and we have some electric ones for children. Those of you not brave enough. It's okay.
We're insured.
We're insured.
Sorry, Daniel. Merry Tiffany, a Christmas.
Thank you.
gift. God transforms lives better than $1 million, Lord, we have eternity. We get to live this life, which has hard times, and we get to live it knowing where there's heaven for us after this. God, you are the reason for the season. So blessed be your name and all the earth, Lord. Go with us as we go to celebrate your birth. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Blessings upon you all. Let's have a blessed Christmas season.
Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.